Hear my words and bear witness to my vow. Night gathers, and now my watch begins.
Beware, spoiler phobes. You have stumbled upon a storm of spoilers, a podcast about HBO's Game of Thrones series in conjunction with the Song of Ice and Fire books by George R.R. Martin. This discussion can expand to include any Game of Thrones relevant books, shows, internet extras, special features, teases, trailers, interviews, rumors, guesses, theories, and general crackpotitude. We're not ruining, we're enriching. After all, chaos isn't a pit, it's a ladder. You do not wish to be spoiled or are not caught up, please stop now.
The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agree to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie?
Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all.
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder.
Hello and welcome to A Storm of Spoilers. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and despite not having any television to watch, I have not read any books in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series.
I'm Joanna Robinson, and despite all of the TV to watch, I have read every book in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series until the next one comes out before season 6.
And I'm Neil Miller, and despite buying the new George R. R. Martin book, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, I guess is what it's called, I haven't read it because every time I look at it, it makes me sad that the other book isn't out.
But yeah, I take it back. I didn't read no Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
You haven't read the Dunk and Egg Chronicles?
I haven't read the Dunk and Egg Chronicles, no.
It's a
I mean, I've heard they're, barn heard they're good. Oh, barn burner, is it? Okay.
Is it the magical creatures and where to find them of the Game of Thrones spinoff?
Sort of. It takes place during the reign of the Targaryen. It's years and years before the Game of Thrones story as we know it. So it's
Aemon referenced Egg a couple times in season 5.
Yeah,
he did. It's very touching.
It's neat, but it's like you read it and you're like, wait, why were you doing this instead of writing more of the real books? It just makes you madder at George R. R. Martin, which I don't want to be because he's so huggable.
I mean, he's pretty squeezable. It's true. Mm-hmm.
I found Colorado George R. R. Martin the other day.
Squeeze him?
Well, I was like, he really looks like George R. R. Martin, and he's got a no, but I was luckily wearing my Jon Snow Lives t-shirt, so I like made sure that he saw it, and he didn't react, and so I backed off. I didn't want to make it awkward on Colorado George R.
R. Martin. You approached Colorado George R. R. Martin in the wild. You tried some t-shirt baiting. Didn't work.
Yep.
You released him.
How do we think that the real George R. R. Martin would react to that t-shirt? Would it be like a thumbs up from across the room?
I think he would like a belly laugh.
Yeah, he would find the flaming sword icon the most meaningful. Most people are just like outside drinking and they're like, cool shirt. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, feel it, bro. I'm like, yeah, there's lots of bros out here, guys.
You get feel it, bro is an oft-heard phrase in Colorado.
I mean, bro and yeah, feel it. Yeah, sure. I mean,
feel it, bro.
I hear that
feel the life of Jon Snow. Should we start there with the fact that Kit Harington is
sure.
Just like goddamn?
Yeah, I mean,
filled in Game of Thrones.
You guys made me a list, but we will jump around that list. We're here to talk about more things about the upcoming season of HBO's Game of Thrones series. In case you didn't catch the lengthy disclaimer, Jon Snow lives. In case you didn't catch our T-shirt sale, in which case, pity on you, good sir. But yeah. Okay, did we talk about the photos of him like fully in costume last episode?
No, they didn't exist.
All right, so they're back. He's definitely dressed like he's still at the wall or was recently resurrected. So I feel pretty comfortable tripling down
well,
Jon Snow lives.
It's even better now because the other photos that came out show him in a battlefield in what is going to be the North.
Yep.
Not only alive and walking and carrying a sword, but dressed in what appears to be some classic Stark garb. Like he looks like
he's got
Ned's clothes on.
Ned skirt happening.
Right.
The classic leather Ned kilt belt.
Yeah, it's like the black.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a dark, and then it's got the green sleeves. Like it's very different than everything we've seen him wear previously. So either it's they're really doubling down on the hardcore lie. Like they're like, oh, we'll just put him in a different costume while he's visiting the set. Or everything we know to be true is true.
Yes, everything we know to be true is true. No one can deny it anymore.
So he's going to be the one that comes and lays the smackdown on the Boltons?
It seems so.
That would be that. Like, if I were to come and reclaim a place that I recently learned I was blood tied to, I'd dress like my dead father.
It looks like Davos.
Uncle? Dead uncle?
Looks like a dead dad. No, dead uncle. Sorry. Dead uncle. But, you know, depending on what he knows at that point, we don't know. It also looks like Davos, Liam Cunningham, has been spotted in the same place. So it looks like, you know, he's going to be sort of Jon Snow's right-hand man, his Alexander Hamilton. Also the banners on the army sort of fighting behind Jon are some classic Northern House banners. So, this is going to be – I'm boldly predicting. I'm going to double down on what I said last time, which is I feel like we're going to see Sansa, Rickon, and Jon all in the same place this season.
Ooh.
What?
When you talk about banners, is it the ones that Littlefinger has been gathering? Is there also like a Littlefinger alliance?
I don't know where the Vale fits into this. We haven't seen the Vale banners, and Littlefinger might be the deciding factor. He might be the eagles, like at the end of The Hobbit, you know?
Oh, yeah. At the end of a lot of... Anyway.
There's going to be like a Deus Ex Littlefinger.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? Because he said that he was going to go and take back the North.
Yeah,
but we don't... His questionable speed across Westeros... We don't know who he's going to pick up on the way out of King's Landing or if he's...
I still don't understand what his plan is, to be honest with you. The banners that we see in this great photo there's House Mormont, the House Stark banner, House...
Which is led by the little girl.
Yes.
Desperately that we meet this year. Because she... We know her... What? I guess it's your grandfather. It was Jor.
Yeah.
And okay. Jorah would have been her, like, her uncle.
Uncle Jorah, yeah.
So, like, we know all of her awesome family members.
Yeah.
So I just want to meet, just for, like one scene where she, like, talks to Jon Snow and's like, yeah, we'll go.
And we know her sassy penmanship, so.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it looks to me like, you know, we've heard casting rumors about all these northern houses. We talked about that last time. And you know, we're pretty sure Rickon is holed up there in one of the northern houses. We're pretty sure that's where Sansa's going to go. And if they're all fighting for Jon, you know, and it might be at this point that Jon knows he's a Stark because Lyanna Mormont says, you know, we know only one king and his name is Stark. So either they're fighting for Rickon or they're fighting for Jon, who knows he's a Stark. You know?
Oh, Rickon. I want to see what Rickon's...
Or they're fighting in the name of Sansa.
Or they're fighting, yeah, that'd be a good one.
The North does not appreciate ladies the way that Dorne does. But I was going to say, wouldn't it be great if Rickon is king of the North and Tommen, dumbass Tommen, is on the Iron Throne? Like, go back and watch season one and watch these toddlers and then think about them ruling the Seven Kingdoms. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you could call what Tommen does ruling, which you shouldn't, but anyway.
Well,
so, yeah.
He maybe has things locked down outside of his bride being in prison and, you know, the church taking over, but like...
And his mother being a crazy person with a Frankenstein bodyguard.
I mean, that's not like any of his faults as far as
he's
being
got
a ruler.
Nothing. Either his wife or his mother-in-law or his mother is going to be calling the shots. Or no, grandmother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either it's Olenna or Marjorie or Cersei calling the shots. It's not going to be Tommen in any way, shape, or form.
Or their priest. Who knows? Like, there. But you're right. There's just no chance for Tommen.
No, sorry,
little guy.
No, he's gonna have a good run. I've been a teenage
feel
boy.
It, bro. What
feel,
is it?
Yeah, he feels it, bro.
You feel it for Tommen, bro.
I feel Tommen, bro.
All right, so that's the North, right?
That's the North. Or Jon Snow lives.
The big question under the Jon Snow lives thing is like, what happens at Castle Black right after he wakes up? Like, does Ollie immediately run or does he stick around? Who kills Ollie is going to be a big question for the opening of the season, I think.
I like the theory that Ollie gets burned to bring back Jon.
He gets shireened.
He gets hella shireened. Because I think in the book, We can assume it's Shireen who burns for John, which is going to be more poignant.
I think it would be too menacing for our hero, Jon Snow, to wake up and then kill Ollie.
No, but like if Melisandre burns Ollie to bring him back, and then he doesn't know, and then he wakes up and he goes, "Oh, Ollie, even though you stabbed me, I wouldn't have traded my life for yours." And then he like banishes the
red. Ooh, that's super heroic.
But keeps Davos, you know? That's what I would do. I'd be like, "Thanks for the resurrection, Melisandre. There's the road. Get to Steppen. Davos, you're my bro forever."
Davos is like, "On your next strikes again." Because he's outlasting lots of people losing battles.
He really is. He doesn't like even have two full one. Hands. This actually reminds me of I've been thinking about the thematic things for season six. Like, what are the big themes? And I think the Lord of Light is going to have a big year.
Right. You want to tell us
that? It's going to start with, obviously, the Lord of Light bringing Jon Snow back. And answering the big off-season question, which is, does Jon Snow live? Which we've had the answer for a long time, but everyone else is just in denial. So the Lord of Light's going to have a big year. One, for Melisandre. Two, for the fact that they've already cast the Red Priestess for Meereen. So that Red Priestess kind of comes into the circle, into the life of Tyrion and Varys, and in her mind, hopefully, Daenerys, because they start to believe... And this is from the books, where they start to believe that Daenerys is the champion of the Lord of Light.
Right.
And then they start to believe that she is the prince that was promised.
Right.
Then we're going to get Lady Stoneheart, because obviously.
Right. That's some classic Thoris of Myr.
Right. And it all ties back to the resurrection through the power of the Lord of Light. Is going to be a kind of persistent thing in season six. The question is, what other religion is going to kind of be able to keep pace with what the Red God is going to be putting down in season six?
And it's interesting because, you know, like basically, you know, the Lord of Light is a fire god, sort of, right? The red and the fire is associated with him. You know, so at the end of end of it all, we might have ice zombies versus fire zombies. Is that what we're saying?
Because
John's basically going to be a fire zombie, right? To a certain degree.
At the very least, we're going to get ice zombies versus dragons.
Well, yes, I know that. And yes. But like in terms of like, because if the Lord of the Light has undead on his side as well. Well, what's interesting is like if Jon Snow gets resurrected the same way, I mean, Lady Stoneheart. In the classic horror trope, Lady Stoneheart comes back wrong, right?
But
I don't think we're going to expect that Jon Snow is going to come back wrong. We're going to expect that Jon Snow comes back Jon Snow. Or maybe I'm just thinking of the Lazarus Pit.
Well, Beric Dondarrion, he's the only one who ever really explains it. And he always says that every time I come back, that, you know, I'm less of me.
Right.
Or like there's a little bit less there. I think the problem with, or what makes Lady Stoneheart different in her resurrection is that the way that she dies, the way that Catelyn dies, is so horrific.
Yeah, and also Catelyn kind of goes crazy right before
she goes nuts and gets killed in a terrible way. And then the fact that her throat is slit is why she can't talk. Like I've always thought of that as a very practical thing.
Of
course she's nuts.
Yeah, the throat thing, yes. The deranged thing is more what I was thinking of, but you're right that in the books she's like clawing at her own face before she dies.
Right. So, it's really horrible in the books.
Yeah. So she was already gone.
It's kind of a cakewalk in the show.
So anyway, if it's about like what personality stays the same, then if our, you know, mountain versus hound fight happens, they still have to recognize each other as brothers though.
Mm-hmm.
But even though they're, or doesn't
no,
that matter?
But like the mountain wasn't brought back with, he was brought back with science, right?
He's right back with something else. Whatever Qyburn's got going on.
But it's not Lord of Light. I mean, Qyburn's not a devotee of the Lord of Light. It's like some Frankenstein stuff.
So do you have to differentiate that if there's going to be a lot of resurrections this season? Or is it just like, it's different for everybody?
Well, I think the way they did the mountain, as much as I wish they would have done a couple of things differently. Like, I wish he would have suffered more and it would have been more of a victory for my man Oberyn. The way they did it, though, they really did make it seem like it was like this mad scientist reanimating the corpse process. Whereas, like, the Jon Snow thing and the Lady Stoneheart thing and even the Beric thing is all this very mystical, religious resurrection magic thing. Right. Where
this may or may not be. Sorry, go ahead.
Qyburn is more of a man of science, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. He's a Victor Frankenstein. This may or may not be interesting at all to anyone, but I found it interesting rewatching season one that Thoros of Myr gets name dropped twice in episode 3. They talk about Thoros of Myr and his flaming sword charging into battle and stuff like that. I just thought that was a fun little thing that they got in there early, knowing that Thoros would be important. So.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
you think they knew? You don't think they were just like peppering with? I mean, I guess they had to know.
Yeah, because that was already in the books that Thoros would show up and be importantish. So,
by the mostly time- for the, I mean, in the way that he was used in the show, he was like a stop off on Arya's little season 2 jump about.
Sort of.
Yeah, but I don't know that they knew at the time that they weren't going to do Lady Stoneheart. Like, you know, by season 1, episode 3, we'll all read about this in the book. You know, that comes out a million years from now about what they knew when. But when they were doing season 1, episode 3, I'm not sure they made up their mind yet that they weren't going to do Lady Stoneheart until season 6, if ever, you know.
Right.
Sorry, I feel it like is, I got it, stuck. I apologize.
It is the great Lady Stoneheart trutherism landmark is the fact that Beric Dondarrion is there and they went through with that. And, you know, I don't think you do that just for like one cool sword fight between him and the Hound.
That's more what I'm saying is that it seems like if they were going to use him, that eventually they were planning to do Lady Stoneheart, which would theoretically be more evidence to them doing now. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a weird pull between like, we're the biggest show on television and can have a lot more budget, but we also have to do like X amount of things. I don't know. I want to see zombie Catelyn, though, finally.
I do think that there's an element to it from a production standpoint that they have tried to keep the stories kind of compact in different regions. And like last year, there was just a lot at the Wall and a lot at Winterfell and not as much in King's Landing and then a lot in Meereen. This next year, we're going to see a flurry. It seems like a flurry of stuff happened in the Riverlands.
Yeah, right.
You guys brings Lady Stoneheart back into play.
Yeah. So yeah,
So the other thing, the thing that makes us feel pretty strongly about Catelyn Tully coming back is all the other Tullys are coming back. Not Edmure. No. What was her? Hoster. Hoster's dead. But
not the Edmure, dead.
Yeah.
Well, not all the dead ones, at least.
Some of the dead ones. Okay. Anyway, let me rewind.
It's complex.
Edmure and Brendan Blackfish Tully have both been spotted. Those actors have been spotted filming in the Riverland sets. So that means they will be coming back. We last saw them in and around the Red Wedding. So we're pretty sure that this is going to tie into the Frey plot. Edmure is probably still under lock and key with the Freys. We know the Freys are coming back. So it's going to be a big Red Wedding reckoning, I think, this season. And you can't do that without motherfucking Lady Stoneheart. So there you go. And we know that Jaime and also Nicola Coster-Waldau, probably Bronn, and also Gwendolyn Christie has been spotted in the Riverland set. So we know Brienne, Jaime are converging, and that's also part of the Lady Stoneheart plot in the books. So
wow. So basically whatever like our sand snakes are doing is just boring and I'm not going to care, is what you're telling me.
There's a rumor that they only have like 3 scenes, but there was an interesting photo that went up on Watchers on the Wall, I think it was today or yesterday, of the Dorne people with one of the Essos people. So maybe the Dorne people,
like with one of the slavers.
So maybe the Dorne people are going to Essos, or someone from Essos is going to Dorne. But we've been expecting anyway that their plot is going to hook up with Dany's plot. So.
Yeah,
but I still
jives with the direction of the books.
Yeah, but I just still don't understand. I mean, I'm not going to bring up the Weekend at Bernie's thing again, even though it's maybe the best thing I've ever said. But I still don't understand how Jaime and Bronn are getting out of Dorne. Like, I mean, how that's just gonna end, you know?
Like, still... So I think the thing I'm most afraid of, for the sake of all of the think pieces that will come out after the episode where this happens, is that Jaime brings Marcella back to King's Landing, and like they're just like, eh, okay.
She's right, that Marcella's death won't matter at all.
Right. Hey, yeah. Can you go do this other thing in the Riverlands? Because the Riverlands thing, the whole thing about the Blackfish at River Run is all from the existing books, where it's the Blackfish, after urinating and finding out that his entire family's been killed, goes back to River Run and holes up there, and Jaime has to go and try and like end the siege.
Diplomacy.
Yeah, and they use Edmure as like bait to try and end the siege. And it's cool. It's a really cool, like, kind of parlay between two characters who are really fun, and it leads Jaime a lot closer to Brienne. But yeah, I worry that like Marcella's not, her death is not going to matter, because there have been a lot of rumors that like even like Trystane, it somehow ends up back in Dorne, or like he doesn't just end
like,
up getting
killed. They just like shove him overboard and be like, swim home, sonny. Like, <what? laughs> I mean,
they should take this more seriously.
If Marcella's death doesn't matter, then the whole trip to Dorne doesn't matter, which is entirely possible, because it was a stupid little side. Like, it was stupid. It was a stupid plan. They were trying to get like to get us more interested in Dorne because Jaime was there. I understand their reasoning, but it didn't work. And if Jaime just goes home only to have Cersei send him off to fix another problem in the Riverlands, then he is just so officially, sadly, her bitch. And
right,
you know, I need Jaime to not be Cersei's bitch anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Or her lover. Neither her bitch nor her lover. I would like Jaime to be his own man.
Actually, kind of, you know, it's funny. Oh, revisiting
that song just flushes in to the child and the mother and the sinner and the saint. Just gotta hold it back.
I didn't fully dislike when they were in cahoots, when they were like really like in step, Jaime and Cersei. They were kind of a fun bad guy team.
Yeah, season one, Jaime and Cersei was fun, but now things are too fucked up and sad. And Jaime went too far in the redemption arc to swing all the way back to like the evil prince that he was. And I mean, evil Jaime is really fun. That is true. But you know, we can't just like have him be on the road with Brienne and have all this character building only to just tear it all down. Like, darken it, make it interesting, but don't. Don't tear it to pieces, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just takes Marcella's head off or something and carries it with him.
Did we cover?
You better at least get that necklace.
Did we cover all of the Riverland stuff? I think right.
The Blackfoot. Well, I mean, the big news is that the Clive Russell has been seen on the scene in Northern Ireland where they're shooting the Riverland stuff. And so, and Tobias Menzies has also been rumored to be.
I love the name Tobias Menzies.
I really like Tobias Menzies. He was really funny in, did you guys see the Amazon show Catastrophe?
Yeah. He was good,
He's really good in that.
He's also like hilarious in Outlander. He's not, guys. Mm-hmm. He's pretty Outlander's good.
Outlander's one
Outlander.
I haven't really pushed through on yet.
He was also good in The Honorable Woman, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Tobias Menzies had a good year. A good couple years. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Tobias Menzies and Clive Russell have been spotted.
They're coming back. Nikolai Coster-Waldau and Jerome Flynn have both been spotted around the area. There was also this rumor that came out today that Sophie Turner was in the area shooting, but it was debunked pretty quickly. That's the other thing that's getting weird, is that their shooting schedules are like they're shooting stuff that is Old Town and Braavos and Meereen all in the same city in Spain.
Good.
And then they're shooting stuff that could be the north, it could be the Riverlands, all in the same area, Northern Ireland. So it's like, you know, is Sophie Turner going to be involved in the river and stuff? Seems less likely, because Sansa's, you know, heading further north.
But Barry.
It's kind of an interesting thought, is like, how would Sansa end up there?
But if she took off with Brienne, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. But I still vote for her going further north. I like
that,
though.
Hanging with the brothers.
Yeah, I do kind of like that, though, that, like, they're filming Yes, multiple fictional locations and one actual location. And so you're like, you know, so that's why an Esso slaver could maybe be having lunch with the Dorne people, because they just happened to be like filming in the same place, right. You know, and they went to craft services together. So it's possible that, you know, Essos and Dorne won't have anything to do together. It's a coincidence.
I'm waiting for the shot of like Emilia Clarke and Maisie Williams walking out of the same hotel in Spain. Yes. Freaking out, like, what the hell? How did they end up together?
Kit Harington trotting behind them,
right? Well, because Kit Harington's just hanging out on the set with everybody.
Oh, just for fun, right?
Yeah. Another one that I think is just hanging out on the set thing was Shay.
Wait, do you actually think Sybil Kelly is just hanging out on the set?
I think so. I think that's the one. So far, I've been very scrupulous about like. Are they?
I thought she was spotted in costume. Was she not?
All the stuff I saw of her was she was just in like normal street clothes, and everyone else was in costume.
Yeah.
So I'm. Although this brings us to a very interesting topic, I'm skeptical about Shay coming back, even in any form.
You'd be talking about her coming back in a vision or right. some such thing,
mm-hmm. right? That like Tyrion would see her. Because he's really drunk or something like that. But right. You're skeptical, or you just don't want it to happen?
Oh, no, I'm just skeptical that it's going to happen. I think it'd be cool. Like, I think that's another great theme for the show that could kind of permeate season six is the notion of all these kind of visions. Because once they kind of open that door, it's like flashbacks. So they opened that door last year. So now we're going to potentially get a bunch of that stuff this year. So I think it's cool, but I don't understand how a Shay vision would.
I mean, it could
in
kick
any
up,
way impact Tyrion.
It could kick up Tyrion's guilt, because he killed her, and he has not really reckoned with that at all. I don't know. There's a photo of her. So Varys is in costume, and there's like the one of her in the black sundress, which is obviously her street clothes. And there's one of her where she's wearing something that could. Be either, to be honest with you. And I hope she's
she never wore very much anyway.
It's true. It's true. I hope that she's like, I wore this intentionally ambiguous piece of clothing so that people could scratch their heads over this. Trailer of joy confirmed.
Yeah.
You know what? Now that I think about it, they did, because I was trying to think like where have they planted seeds for Tyrion's guilt to kind of come back, but they did plant that when they were in the brothel. He and Varys were in the brothel, and he like couldn't get going with the
get going. The yes,
yeah, where he's clearly having struggles with it. So maybe that's some of the. It feels like they'd be like killing time with some of that stuff, but I don't know. Maybe it plays bigger down the road. Tyrion's guilt.
Yeah,
there's also more to this. There's also a tweet that says that Sybil Kelly is in the exclusive cast hotel. So I doubt she's just visiting, said someone from the set.
The exclusive cast
hotel. The cast hotel.
Yeah. So unless she's shacking up with, you know, Conleth Hill or whatever, then yeah. So
it's where Kit Harington like runs down the halls with his paddle ball. Hey, Kit, come back.
Can we pause for 1 sec? I have to go get my power cord. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But sure. I am going to send you this link of her, like, allegedly in costume.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's... They're claiming it's a slave costume. I'm saying I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like a rap thing.
Yeah.
Could go either way.
She is standing next to Dan Weiss, and he is literally showing her a script.
Yeah, and Tyrion's there too. Tyrion, but Peter Dinklage is there.
I have an even better conspiracy theory based on this photo.
What is your conspiracy theory based on this photo?
I want to know what that book is that she's holding.
Oh, the pink backed one.
You think it's the new book?
Yeah. We have to get the tinfoil hats out at some point, guys. I mean, sure, this looks like it could be a costume from the show, and the second half of this photo is Dan Weiss showing her a script. But I want to know what that book is. It looks pretty thick. Could be Winds of Winter. That's all I'm saying.
I'll embed this in the show notes.
No, but I bet he just sees her face in the crowd of you know, slaves or something like that.
Maybe.
And is like,
it'll make me even more disappointed that they never went to the Where Do Whores Go storyline with Tyrion. Because that is such an interesting and like just kind of powerful thing in the book that just plagues him constantly. And it's tough to do because you don't have the internal narration that the book has. But it'll kind of make me disappointed that they left that line out.
Maybe he'll say that to Varys. And I can hear Peter Dinklage saying it with his dubious vowels too. Where do whores go? He says Jew.
Okay,
anyway, Jew. All right. so that's Shay.
Yeah, Shay could be there.
Visions will be the added layer, where the way flashback was the added layer last season.
I mean, with Bran in the Tower of Joy, anything's possible, you know? Like, Bran is just cracking this thing wide open, so.
Mm-hmm. And they're beefing up Bran with Max von Sydow, so, like, clearly it's going to be a thing.
Yes. Do we want to talk about what Daenerys is up to?
Do we? Yeah. I watched something burn, I think, on Instagram like 2 days ago.
They've cast a bunch of handsome men to play Dothraki. They've cast a few. We know that there are going to be some Dothraki widows that they're going to see. But most significantly, I think, is that, Daenerys is going to be, I believe, taken prisoner by the Dothraki who surrounded her at the end of last season. She's going to be taken to Vice Dothrak. And then Drogon's going to show up and burn the shit out of a longhouse. And then everyone's going to bow down to Daenerys because she's got this powerful dragon. There is some rumor that maybe Daenerys is in the house when it burns and she walks through the flame again. That seems like such a retread of season one. I don't know.
Well, but I mean, it's been a while since we've seen her live through some fire, right?
It's true.
Wouldn't that be, I mean, like, when a season opens with Jon Snow being resurrected to then go to another storyline where she's supposed to be the same savior, might be dubious without having her do something like walk through the fire again.
You're breaking up for me. I don't know how the call is for Neil, but.
Oops.
I can't hear. You guys are both breaking up. Now I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear everyone fine.
Is it my fault?
Okay.
Is it better? I think it might be better.
Everyone
better?
Oh, it's better now.
Oh, hey.
A little better. okay, so what I was going to say is that, well, I want to talk to Neil about this. I'm still not entirely sure I understand, and I'm interested in your thoughts too, Dave, of course. I'm not sure I entirely understand what is the deal with Daenerys and fire, because George R. R. Martin has said she's not actually impervious to fire. She only survived Khal Drogo's pyre because of like blood magic and her dead baby and like all this stuff. And it's not actually that Daenerys is literally immune to fire. And in the books, when Drogon, you know, drops into the pit, as he did in season 5, he torches Daenerys and she loses like her hair and all that sort
of
stuff.
But her skin is okay.
Yeah.
The losing of the hair thing, I can see why they got rid of that in the show.
But so my question is, what in your mind, what is Daenerys's immunity to fire? Is it just her skin is immune to fire?
Like maybe there's some physiological thing where when her adrenaline's going, she secretes some sort of magic that makes her impervious to fire. But then again, the show has been very careful and very specific about the way she interacts with heat, especially early in the show, especially season one, like when she walks into the bath that's apparently scalding hot and it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't affect her. Like that's how they're identifying her as the dragon. Right. And then she grabs the egg that's been on the fire later in season one and nothing happens, but then
it burns one of her handmaids. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she's fireproof. I think it's, I know that George R. R. Martin, like he said that, but, and that might be true in the books. Like there may be something else to it, but I think the show is taking it pretty straight up that she is fireproof. But they've also made a very specific delineation between normal fire and dragon fire.
Dragon fire, that's true.
So she cannot be killed by normal fire. We know this. But she may not be impervious to dragon fire, which is, you know, dragon glass, dragon fire, all the things that can kill the mystical others. So who knows? I think the show is taking a very straight, cut and dry view of her being fireproof. So if they do that in season six, where something gets lit on fire and she just walks right out, it'll be a great effect. It'll be a cool moment, and I wouldn't be surprised at all, because if they brought that back,
the widows of the Dothraki, they're like powerful, almost like a coven. I don't know. Anyway, they're called the Dushkaleen is the name of them, which sounds exactly like something out of Dune, does it not? And they're very powerful. They run the world, don't they? Control what the Dothraki do?
They control, from what I understand, they control like the city, and the calls kind of control what happens when everybody leaves. But yeah, like when you're a widow, when your man dies as a Dothraki woman, you go back to the city, and you know they were the ones that eat the hearts. They were the ones that do all the crazy mysticism. So there's some stuff to them. So I would imagine what would make sense to me is if the Khalasar picks up Daenerys where we saw her at the end of season five. Then they find out kind of who she is, because she's not an unremarkable person. Like, it's easy to figure out who she is, especially if they've heard tales of like Khal Drogo's queen. So then they take her back, and then that's when Drogon sweeps in and gets her back, and that would help her build her army, essentially. You know, because that's still kind of what she has to do, is build her army to be able to take everybody back to Westeros and take over. Still feels like she's very far away from that, but this would bring the Dothraki to her side. I have one interesting thought. Yes. It would be very cool that if this happened early in the season, which I think would be, it would make sense if it all happened kind of quick. If in the same episode, both Daenerys and Jon emerge from the fire.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Like, but then, like,
cool would that be?
What happens to who is it? Jorah, whoever is looking for Dany out and around.
Jorah and Dario. They were spotted at the Vice Dothrak set, sort of like lingering in the bushes, like Bronn and Jaime and Dorne. Like, basically, they're like waiting around. They're trying to figure out how to rescue her, and then I think she rescues herself. Is what happens.
Nice. So, I like that.
Yeah. We know what episode the thing burns in, actually, because
the director.
Director. Yeah.
Which director was it?
Hold on. It's Dan Sackheim, so it's either episode 3 or 4.
So that lines up with what could be...
Can you even make us wait till episode 3 or 4 to bring back Kit Harington?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can commit to a whole season, off-season, being like, he's dead.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like if he's going to get resurrected, like episode 2 or 3 seems about right. Because they're going to have to go back and explain it first for everybody who doesn't read the books and doesn't know and doesn't remember Beric Dondarrion. Like, there's going to have to be like a conversation. And, you know, they may do that thing that they do where they spend 2 episodes elsewhere.
Yeah.
Other stories. And they come back to the wall.
I hope that's the case. If we don't see Jon Snow come back to episode 3 or 4, I hope episodes 1 and 2 don't have the wall at all.
Right. You
know? And we'll just at the end of each week be like, what about Jon Snow? You know, even though we know that he's coming back and he's putting on Ned Stark. Right. So it's fine. It's fine.
That does fit with their general temperament of
making us go
fucking with the audience.
Yeah. No, it'd be great. It'll be like, hey, everyone come back for season 6. And oh, what's up with the Greyjoys?
It would be like,
check in with Osha. Yeah.
Like, I have this vision of Benioff and Weiss sitting in their office before they write any of the scripts and just going, you know, it would be really funny if we just didn't show anything about the wall for like 2 episodes after we kill Jon Snow. Like, that'd be really funny. And then they do it because they're evil.
Right.
Or like, what if they're like, okay, well, you know, those Storm of Spoilers people didn't believe us when we said, don't say. I'm pretty sure they orient how they write the season around how we react. And they're like, did you see those motherfucking Jon Snow live shirts?
They get notes from Brian Cogman. Like, here's what they said.
heavy sigh.
Sorry, Brian.
I don't generally like to police other sites for the way that they write about Game of Thrones publicly. Mm-hmm. The only thing I do want to call out is...
Oh, here it comes, though.
No, just one. Which is right. I mean, I was just surprised. It was Deadline. I was surprised. Deadline fucked up so hard on that story where they talked about the new actress who's playing at a Red Priestess, which Neil already mentioned. They're like, Melisandre recast. And it was so...
Oh, my God.
It was like so very wrong. And then they edited it without showing their edit. They just changed it. Straight up changed it.
I wish they would just stick to inaccurately predicting the box office.
But they're like, Carice Van Houten has been replaced by this actress as a Red Priestess. And then some people were like, hey, dummy, there's more than one Red Priestess in Game of Thrones. And they were like...
Also, Jon Snow is dead.
This never happened. Sorry. Okay. Why me calling out Deadline.
No, no.
Sorry.
While we're there, I want to, like, this isn't the first time, like, that happens. The whole reason we were worried, like, there was going to be a all-female Ghostbusters and all-male Ghostbusters is just because of Deadline. Because they're like, a second all-male Ghostbusters. And it's like, no one ever said all-male. They're just adding, like, dozens of Ghostbusters movies, like Marvel movies. It's like, stop making it a thing. Anyway.
They'd be like, they're making a Captain America movie with dudes.
Exactly.
Oh, man, I don't want to see an all-male Captain America. Come on.
I want him to be at least partly female.
All right, so speaking of the Greyjoys, though, should we talk about the Greyjoys?
Why should we?
I think we have a very cute off-season story about our new favorite character.
We do. Have we not talked about this the last podcast?
No, because I think this happened after the podcast where you sent me the code to watch Borgin on iTunes.
This is really cute. I bought Neil season one of Borgin on iTunes because I wanted him to get to know this actor.
It was fantastic. I still don't know how to pronounce his name.
Pilau Azbek, I believe.
Pilau Azbek. Okay, we're going to have to practice that for next year. We'll do some practice. But this was fantastic. And thank you, Joanna, for several reasons. One, Borgin is awesome. Like, it's really great, just gripping, dramatic. It was a great just kind of decompression from a lot of, the action and the stuff that I was watching this summer. Really, really gripping stuff. And now I really want everyone from that show because we had last year, what's her name from last year?
Her character's name is Karine Fonsmark. Birgit Hjort Sorensen. That's right.
Yes. So she was in Game of Thrones last year as the Wildling Chieftainess, who was awesome for one episode and then is dead now. Well, she could come back. This year we're getting Pilau Azbek as Euron Greyjoy, and he's great in Borgin, and he just oozes the kind of charisma that you would need to play a completely crazy person. So now I just want everybody from that show to show up randomly. Like, I want it to become the farm team of Game of Thrones.
Well, what's great?
I've now watched all three seasons and I loved it.
What's great is that Sidse Babett Knudsen, please let me know if I butcher that, who's the lead actor on Borgin. So she's going to be on Westworld, right? Which is HBO's robot Western, right? And then Birgit Hjort Sorensen is going to be on, what is it called? Vinyl, which is HBO's rock and roll show. And then Pilau Azbek is going to be on Game of Thrones. So HBO's got the hat trick of Borgin on their schedule this season.
Yeah, all watched Borgin and thought it was great.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever's doing casting at HBO is like, Borgin is my favorite show, and we're going to steal all of their actors now. So.
It took me a couple episodes to figure out that they were in Denmark and that they were Danes. They were not Dutch.
Yes.
Because I'm not familiar with how that area of the world works.
But what's great about Borgin is once you watch Borgin and understand how their government works, it helps you understand other governments. Like John Oliver this week was trying to explain the Canadian election and he was starting to talk about it. I was like, oh, I get it. It's Borgin. It's fine. I get it. I get how this works. It's fine.
It also potentially makes you really sad about America.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah.
Because yeah. Anyway, their government actually like works and stuff, and ours is no.
Sometimes. So everyone should watch Borgen. Pilau is back. My prediction is that he is going to be the Oberyn Martell, or the Euron Greyjoy is going to be the Oberyn Martell of the season. I hope so. Though last season I had those hopes for the Sand Snakes, and I was very, very wrong. So
not every season has an Oberyn Martell.
I guess not.
Literally, no other seasons have Oberyn Martell.
just that one.
the thing I like about it though is that he, when I read Euron Greyjoy in the books, I thought, oh man, this is a really great character, but he's always described as being kind of ugly. So when they cast a really handsome guy, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. He could be really, people are going to love this guy.
Yeah. oh, he's handsome. Oh, Neil's in. Neil's in now.
Well,
my gaze has no limits.
He's going to have like a kind of a funky beard and an eye patch, right? So, you know.
If they keep the eye patch. I think the eye patch sounds great.
They're going to hide his, like, you know. He looks like Joshua Jackson. My favorite thing that happened out of that casting is that Joshua Jackson, like, Instagrammed, oh, you guys, I didn't know I got cast on Game of Thrones. This is great. because Joshua Jackson's the best. Anyway. Yeah, so Euron Greyjoy. Okay, so this is, I guess, where we say that allegedly, I might have mentioned already this episode, allegedly all of season 6 plot has leaked online.
I don't think we brought that up. I think we would have stopped and made it hit that point.
Well, I think I just alluded to it earlier. Allegedly all of season 6 plot has leaked online, and when it first came out, you know, we read it, and a similar thing happened last year that ended up being really, really wrong. So I think we were all kind of hoping that maybe this is really, really wrong, because it's fun to still have some mystery left season 6. But the developments that have happened since that thing was released seems to have confirmed its legitimacy, right? So it's looking like maybe we would know everything that's going to happen in season 6. And suffice to say that Euron Greyjoy has a really badass role to play. So.
It's causing a lot of an existential crisis around here. Like, do we really want to know all that stuff?
The answer is yes.
I can't unread it, you know?
The real question is, like, when do you give up, I think? Because it's like, when Lady Stoneheart hasn't popped up, but we're like, yeah, she'll come. People are like, well, no, it's like they said they weren't going to do her. It's like, no, it's happening. We're okay with it. I feel like... you know, as long as you're okay with maybe knowing the end of the season, we're still going to get to go on the ride.
Mm-hmm. I think the tough part is that up until now, we've known. Like, we've known because of the books.
Oh, yeah, so that's right. It's different for you guys.
It creates this interesting struggle where it's like, well, we knew for sure that these things could happen, but now, we're in that weird area.
As much as I complain about some of the later books, like, I would rather... you know the saga of A Song of Ice and Fire via George R. R. Martin's sometimes belabored prose than this like horrible screen crap, like poorly, you know, like we know that the show's going to diverge from the books, but still, like if I just learned a bunch of cool book stuff via this dumb ass post leak, that's kind of sad, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, Dave, your spoiler policy is different from mine. Like, you don't think there's anything, there's such a thing as a spoiler.
Right.
And I think that I wish that I had, and I, you know, I had the choice not to read it. And I read it. But I wish that if I could go back time, I will say, I would prefer to learn about that.
If I could turn back time.
in the new book.
I do. You know, it's funny because I think we have a full range of it. Between the three of us, I actually know people that are even more extreme, that they are planning on not watching season 6 until the new book comes out. And I'm like, well, I mean, you're really sort of selling yourself short on that because season 6 might be awesome. But there are extreme versions of that out there that I don't subscribe to because I watched the show before I read the books, and it's kind of been this symbiotic thing where it's back and forth where I watched the show, got really into it, went back and read the books, got really into those, got ahead, and now I'm back to where I was before. So I will, if that thing that we read was completely true, like if it's word for word straight up how the season goes, I will be a little disappointed, but mostly because some of that stuff is silly. Not necessarily because I knew, but because I don't necessarily like some of it.
The Dario stuff is silly, I'd say.
Right. Like there's just stuff in there that I'm like, oh man, I wish. But then again, who knows? That stuff could end up being in the books and I'm going to hate George R. R. Martin because of it anyway. So I don't know. I think I'll get over it in the end.
I mean, we'll all get over it. We'll all enjoy season six for the most part, probably.
So do I link to this in the show notes or do I
am I withholding? I don't know. People can find. It's not hard to find.
Yeah, let's just let that one extra step. Well, one extra layer of production.
Put some effort into it.
Yeah, you
can't
actually
just open
have
your
to
device
make
and click on it.
But I think most people, a lot of people who listen to the show have already read it, actually, because I get a lot of questions about it. So...
Yeah. I think we're at this point, our official stance on it is that we're worried that it's true.
Yeah.
At first it was like, no way.
This time last year we had a synopsis where Sansa avoided getting raped entirely. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And we were like, man, I want to believe this. This is true. And then it just started going, yeah, completely off base. So
the other thing about this though, is that this leak is really early in the process. The thing on this is dated September, but this is earlier than that.
It was August, maybe.
Yeah, so this was really early in the shooting process where this came out. So if this came, it would have had to have come from scripts. It's kind of like reading the first draft of a movie that then goes into production. Like things could change.
That's true.
So even if this is legitimate, the final version may be different, which I think would be interesting.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many emails I got over the past 2 months claiming to describe a new Star Wars trailer, and then finally saw it this week, and like nobody was right. And right. I'm so happy I didn't jump to conclusions because some of them had like some crazy stuff in there. But it's a Schrodinger's cat thing when you don't have books to go on. It's like it could be either way, and until it's broadcast, who's to say?
Until the new book comes out.
Yeah, I think we're all still in agreement that the book's going to come out before the season.
Mm-hmm. There's no downside to not putting my foot down on that side of the line. Like, if I'm wrong, who cares? But if we're right, it's like that we're the podcast that got that right.
I mean we're going to be the podcast that got Stoneheart right, obviously.
You guys, people have been calling us crazy for years. And by years, I mean like a year. But right about Stoneheart... Right about Jon Snow, and Neil predicted this book thing well before any of those translator rumors started circulating.
That's right.
Come to the Citadel of Crazy. It's where it's happening. Citadel and Crazy Town.
We get new information all the time. Is there anything that we missed from this second in-between wrap-up episode? I don't know what we're calling these now. We should have a cool name for it. Is there a name? What's the theater troupe?
The Interregnum?
Sure. Yes.
No, we don't have to call it the Interregnum. Interregnum is the period between two kings. That's what an interregnum is. But
that's a better vocabulary word than anything I would have come up with.
I just called it off-season because I watched sports ball.
Oh, yeah. I watched some sports ball because it had Star Wars in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. I just watched the internet until the Star Wars was on the internet.
It was great watching both, especially when halftime started and they decided to spend like 5 minutes doing a recap of the weekend. And
people are losing their minds.
Like cursing at everybody who comes on screen on Twitter. It was fantastic. Anyway, speaking of Twitter, where could people find us until we next decide to surprise drop into your feeds? Let's start with Neil this week.
You can find me on Twitter at Rejex. You can find me writing about Game of Thrones, Star Wars, Marvel movies, all of the things, apparently, on filmschoolrejects.com.
You're the best beat, man.
I do. Well, I have my beat is all the things.
All the things. If you want to hear me, Joanna, talk about Game of Thrones again some more, I'm doing a season one rewatch and book read along over on the Cast of Kings feed. Do check that out. It's pretty fun. Even if you feel like it's not going to be fun, trust me. Dave Chen.
So good.
Hilarious.
It is.
Dave Chen hates books.
And Dave knows. He knows.
No, it's great. It's like, and then Rhaegar kills the honor. You're like, well, no, hold on now, Dave.
It's true, because like he's going off whatever information he has, but I still have to represent.
Dance between those raindrops.
Anyway, dance between those raindrops. So also over on VanityFair.com or on Twitter at Joe Wrote This.
I'm Dave Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at DA70. I write at Geek.com, Latino-Review.com, and Forbes.com. I podcast at FightingInTheWarRoom.com, which includes this at FightingInTheWarRoom.com/GotSpoilers. You can listen to all our back episodes when we talk about the thing that we aren't talking about, the leak, I'm pretty sure, in the first season of Storm of Spoilers. We talked about it. No, that's really vague, but I'm keeping it in. We will talk to you next time on Star Wars Spoilers.